Alrighty, welcome back, Iowa. I'm Tim Hetty. You're listening to Around the House with Tim Hetty. Got my good friend and co-host, Rod Fox. How's it going today?
Yeah, it's doing very well, Tim. How are you this morning?
Real good. I see you rode your motorcycle in. I bet that was cold.
No, it wasn't too bad. There's probably fewer days to be riding now, getting closer to Christmas, which, you know, I'm sure it's one of your favorite holidays, spend all that money.
But, that's great.
So I got to get out and ride it while I can.
Yeah, nice. Got Joel Fry over there turning the knobs for us. Got a few new sponsors for our show wanted to talk about real quick.
Absolutely.
Mid-American Energy. And we have been working on this one for a long time.
Yeah.
And we should have a guest on here pretty soon to talk about the rebates and all that stuff that we've been talking about.
Right. We've spoken over the past few months about having energy audits done and what Mid-American Energy can do for you. But you know, wherever you're at, you should be talking to your energy provider and seeing if they do an audit and how your home can benefit from it and the savings that are out there both federally and locally through the energy companies. So energy audits is something that's going to be a topic or has been a topic, but we're going to go a little more in depth about it in the future.
Well, you know, it makes great sense, you know, to make these improvements to your house, like the window films or insulating the box sills and stuff like that. You know, when you're getting a federal rebate, plus you're getting a kickback from the power company.
Absolutely.
You know,
this just makes perfect common sense to, you know, get these benefits and let them pay you back over time.
I mean,
why wouldn't people want to save money? And I think people sometimes, you know, we hear, you know, this is free and giving it away and all that kind of stuff. We kind of get brazen to it. But this is the kind of thing with your home you really should research, find out more information about, and we can show you exactly how you can save the money.
So, and then also we've got Mediacom.
Yes.
Now, you know, I'm huge internet, you know, I don't do anything with a phone book or nothing anymore. It's all on the internet.
Yeah. It's the way of the future.
We love the high speed internet and, you know, they've got so many great products over there.
Right. We've become so technologically integrated into our society that you're right. Just, you know, the old yellow pages, things like that, that we used to rely on for our information, which didn't really give you as much.
Right.
You know, exactly. Now with the internet, we can get in there and we can really research, you know, items of interest.
Yeah, and, you know, they've got, you know, not only the internet, but the on-demand movies.
I mean,
as far as I'm concerned, right there, that's technology.
Yeah, you can play a movie at your whim.
Yep, you don't have to wait for it to come on.
That's right.
They've got several things, TV shows, all that stuff on that.
Yeah, right.
Now, let's not forget about Iowa Sun Control.
Right.
And I have these films on my windows, and I just absolutely love them.
Right.
And they make the house more comfortable and more energy efficient.
Right.
And
again, another one of those items that does qualify for the federal tax credit. I think people don't do enough research to find out how they really can make their home energy efficient and save a lot of money because, you know, God forbid this cap and trade goes through and we all have to pay an extra amount of money. These are the things to prepare yourself to. So if that does go through, which we are not advocating by any way, shape, or form.
No. Not unless it'll be. It's basically just another tax.
Right. I mean, you could be prepared for that increase.
Right.
So.
And this is a tax that affects everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you don't think that you're going to be affected by this, ask yourself, you know, are you listening to the radio right now?
That's right.
Well, what's powering that?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Now, Joel, a couple weeks ago, they gave me a gift certificate for a steakhouse, Iowa Beef Steakhouse.
They did, yes.
And I handed it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you went over there.
I did.
What did you think?
It was delicious. I had never been there before. I live over in the area. I never thought, I thought about going there a couple of times. But oh my goodness, that was fantastic. Had them make it.
Yep.
And they did a bang-up job. It was real good.
So a steak about the size of your foot.
My God. Yeah, no kidding. I mean, they gave me a big old 24-ounce New York strip. And I
nice.
Just, yeah. I could have probably eaten a 30 that day. Then, I tried to go, you know, light lunch because I knew I was going to be eating there that night. That was good. The bread was good. Everything about it was just terrific.
Good cold beer, too, huh?
Oh, the best.
I've never left there where I was hungry, that's for sure.
Well, anyways, and they're really not a sponsor of the show. I just love that place. And there's good people, you know, to visit over there.
Yeah, so Over on East Euclid, if you don't know where it's at.
Yeah, it's about a block west of 14th.
Yeah, couple blocks west of 14th on the south side on East Euclid. So.
Okay. Anyways, I highly recommend it.
So if you don't have plans tonight, thinking about a place to go have a nice meal, you know, consider the Iowa Beef Steakhouse.
It's affordable. It's not, where are you going to go and get a steak that size for that price?
Exactly. So.
Anyways, we have a special guest today.
Yes.
And this guy, I've known him for years. Yep. His name is Ron Greenbaum, and he's from Columbus, Ohio.
Right.
And he is actually the distributor for some spray foams that we use in basements.
Right. We've spoken about him here on the radio.
Yeah. Is he on yet? Or?
Hello.
Hey, Ron, are you there?
Hey, guys, you're making me hungry.
Yeah.
It's early, too.
Next time you're in town, we'll have to go out for a steak.
Absolutely. I'm ready.
Hey, anyways, Ron, we were talking about the spray foams, and, our goal here at this show is to make homes, cleaner, healthier, safer, more energy efficient. And your spray foam is just a good add-on to that. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Well, that's a great question, Tim, because, there are a number of spray foams out there, but what's really important is that you have a closed cell spray foam when you're talking about energy efficiency. And the reason that is because a closed cell will not retain moisture. So our foam is a two-part component polyurethane, and it's a closed cell application. It's pretty simple in terms of the application, but the important thing, again, is that no moisture whatsoever can get into the foam itself.
Okay. So, and I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the reason for is because you want to create both an air and a vapor barrier.
Right.
And that way, and that doesn't happen with other types of insulation.
So a closed cell really is a more dense than an open cell.
So absolutely. You'd
need really a lot less of a closed cell than you would for like an open cell to get the same type of effect.
Yeah, exactly. You only need about 2 inches of closed cell to get an R value of R13, which is recommended to again, create both a vapor barrier and stop the airflow.
Okay. And for you listening at home, what we're talking about here, just to make sure everybody's on the same page, is in the basement, up in the floor joist system, clear over at the walls, we call that the box sill. And it's one of the biggest wastes of energy in the entire home. I would say, Ron, wouldn't you, that's like right after the attic as far as energy loss.
Absolutely. In fact, because of what the stack effect, and excuse me, Tim, I'm not sure if you've discussed that on previous programs or not, but the stack effect is to review, is where the air starts coming in at the basement or crawl space and then heads up to the attic. So if you can stop the air infiltration or the humidity from coming in, then you're really creating a tremendous money savings. I was at John Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland, and I spoke to a gentleman named Peter Van Buren, who is a nationally renowned energy auditor. And I heard earlier you were talking about energy audits, and this gentleman is actually, I think, the president of the National Association, as well as having one of the most complete energy auditing firms in the country. And we were talking just in general about wet basements, even without talking about air infiltration. He said, you're in a business with just waterproofing basements where if you can get that basement dry, you're going to save people about 10 to 15% of their energy bills because it costs that much to heat or cool a basement that just has that type of problem in it. So if you're talking about, again, the band joist or the rim joist in the basement or crawl space, you can stop up to 30 and in some case studies, 40% of the energy loss of a home right then and there.
Well, and I've heard it said that if you go around and you add up all the little cracks and crevices and holes and, things that really seem insignificant, but you add all those up, you've got kind of like a 6-inch opening.
That's exactly right. In fact, if just the band joist alone would be the equivalent of about a 12-inch opening, actually, in any other part of your home, if all the air that's coming and going through there.
So What about, is this equivalent to like getting new windows? And
well, you know, frankly, I think it's, you know, certainly I'm not going to, anytime you can save energy in a home, I think it's important. But, I, you know, for the most part, you're actually saving more energy by doing this, something as simple as applying the spray foam in the band joist, as you do in most windows. You mentioned a product earlier that will reflect heat off the windows and things like that. But, you know, that will save you energy as well. So I think it's all important, but I think that windows are something that certainly can cause you energy loss, but typically it's not quite as effective as if you stop the, you know, the air from actually coming in through the basement or crawl space.
Yeah. Now, what if somebody already has like the pink fiberglass insulation up there? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that there's a big difference there, because that's still going to allow air to come in there. That's what the big difference is that the spray foam will actually stop any air, any frost. You know, pink insulation, you still have damp and potential moldy air coming in, because if it gets wet, it will create a mold problem. You know, fiberglass is only a thermal barrier. It doesn't create an air barrier or a vapor barrier. It's a thermal barrier, meaning it'll warm it up, but it's not going to, again, stop air infiltration. And stopping air infiltration is the best defense against energy loss.
And a lot of that, Ron, is because of the ability for the spray foam to adhere to the material, where if you had pink board or even just fiberglass batting up in there, you still have a gap between
the
rim
joists. That's correct, and you're also potentially creating condensation at the rim joist, and that can lead to mold and mildew problems.
Right.
Okay. Hey, Ron, we've got some more questions for you. Can you stick around a little bit? We got to get to a commercial break.
Absolutely. So,
all right, don't go nowhere. We will be right back. All righty, welcome back, Iowa. We were talking to Ron Greenbaum, who we buy our spray foam insulations from. And Ron, you still there?
Yeah, I sure am, Tim.
Excellent. Now, let's talk a little bit about the difference between summer and winter time as far as being able to keep that stuff out.
Well, you know, that again, what people think about insulation, they think about heating primarily. They think about, again, their heating bills and possibly saving on that and, of course, staying warmer. But the reality is that humidity coming in your home is where, if you can stop that from happening, that's where you can get a real energy savings. And it's a year-round actual energy savings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, that stack effect, that's going year-round. People think that stops. I mean, there is points in the year where they get the equilibrium going on, but that's a year-round problem.
Absolutely. Now, on your show, I assume you've talked about crawl space encapsulation.
Oh yeah. Yep.
And one of the things, again, that I learned in my studies when we started evolving into determining exactly what type of product we needed and where to install the product was dealing with the energy auditing companies, and primarily I met them through crawl space studies, and what they've determined was to really do it properly, to save the most money and make your house, again, the most energy efficient and a better place to live, is you want to, of course, encapsulate your crawl space, use spray foam in the rim joist, but also control the humidity as much as you can through using a Santa dryer or some type of humidifier that's actually going to make sure that you keep the relative humidity under 50%. And if you, again, make sure that you take care of the rim joists or the band boards, you're going to save tremendous amount of monies, because that machine isn't even going to run very often.
Right. So when a homeowner is now looking to you know, everything as far as energy savings, you know, is deemed going green. Are we seeing more and more of this spray foam insulation being used as making these the homes much more energy efficient, or in the term going green?
Absolutely. It's an absolute green product. And, you know, if you're building a house from scratch anymore, you know, most builders are looking to have the entire house done with spray foam insulation because it's just so much more efficient.
Yeah, I agree with that. Matter of fact, we had a guest on a month or two ago about
talking about that very same thing. He was doing spray foam also, but he wasn't doing a lot of this kind of work. He was doing just the stud cavities between the walls.
And that's one of the great things about Ron's product is we're not pulling up with this great big huge truck.
Right.
You know, the materials that we use can be carried in with one guy and very easily done.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
What do you know about the government rebates or the tax credits?
Yeah, that's a question. That's our product. When you finish that job, Tim, you can give them a certificate from us as a manufacturer that qualifies for the government tax credit. And what they do is they just, when they file their income taxes, they send this along, and they will actually get a check back for the price of the job itself. So it's 100% qualifies for the government tax credit.
Oh, it's 100%.
100% up to
$1,500.
Yep. Okay.
So. Yeah, 100% up to $1,500. So. You know, it was there was a case study that we did actually in Kansas City, which isn't too far from you, on a 2,400 square foot home, and by using just applying the spray foam in the band joists, they did a blower test. And the energy savings on that house was 19.3% of the heating and cooling bills. And this was an independent, that's huge. If you can save 20% of your heating and cooling bills all year long, I mean, and get the government, get your money back to help pay for it, I mean,
it's money in your pocket.
You're making money.
Yeah, it's money in your pocket.
Well, and that's what we were just talking about, you know. Anymore, we're not even talking about how long it's going to take for things to be paid back. You know, we're talking between the power company and the government tax credits. A lot of times you're getting a significant amount of this back. So,
yeah, absolutely. And, you know, even the Department of Energy has estimated that if you insulate your home better, that can contribute up to 40%. A lot of houses have 40% energy loss. I mean, think about that. That's more like a 6-foot hole in your home.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, when we see during the wintertime driving down the road and you look at the homes that have the 5-foot icicles hanging off the gutters, you know that that home is not as energy efficient as it should be. And a lot of people are not taking these homes that are 60, 80, 100 years old and doing these kind of things to them. But if they would, the amount of money that they're spending, I mean, it pays for itself. In the long run, you're going to be getting money back in your pocket. I mean, it's never cheaper to do and act on this stuff right now.
Absolutely. And don't be fooled just because you feel your home is insulated properly again with fiberglass insulation, because it's still letting possibly 50% of the air through the insulation itself.
So if this isn't done or it's done improperly, essentially what we're talking about here is just leaving a window open or leaving the door open in the front or something.
So. Yeah, exactly. And it's all going upstairs.
Yep.
Yeah, and again, you know, you've done a case study, and we keep telling our listeners that they need to research this. The information on the Department of U.S. Department of Energy's website, just reaffirms everything that we're talking about. So it's not one company trying to sell a product that's, to get people to buy. Of course, we want that, but we're not trying to do some kind of a magic trick. We're telling you this is going to save you money in the long run and actually put money back in your pocket.
Exactly. If you get on, as you mentioned, the Energy Department's website, that's the first thing they talk about. And in fact, on many states right now the utility, because of cap and trade, the utility companies are paying energy auditing companies to go into the homes that they're furnishing energy to try to give them an idea of where they're losing energy. And what I'm finding is that they're calling me because of the fact that it's mostly in the basement and crawl space and in the band board.
Right. And with this $8,000 tax credit for first-time home buyers, we're seeing a lot of people who are leaving renting an apartment, renting a condominium, renting a house, and now actually being financially responsible for that home. And, you know, it's like having a child for the first time. There's no mm-hmm. book out there. I mean, there's plenty of books, but no one can ever, you know, tell you what it's going to be like until you're raising that child on your own. It's the same thing with home ownership. I mean, you can't just open the door, go move in, and expect, you know, everything to be perfect. You're going to have to, you know, check on these energy audits. You're going to have to see what kind of insulation you've got in the basement. The energy audit is a perfect way to get that done.
Yeah, within the next 2 to 3 years, before a home, and this is across the entire United States, and it's already starting in multiple states, and the house is going to have an energy audit before it changes hands. And so you might as well realize that you're going to have to do a lot of things to sell the home that maybe today or last year you didn't have to do. But in the long run, it's going to pay off because you're going to get you're going to save money. And that's really what we're talking about here, saving money and saving energy.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that's a good idea. They ought to require a energy audit.
I mean, we do a home inspection. Why can't an energy audit be added right on behind?
You know, that's exactly right. And, you know, I was on the Department of Energy's website this morning, and they had an interesting trick that if you can stand the smell of incense, I can't, but if you can, wait for a really windy day and then light an incense and kind of go around the box sills in the basement and your doors and your windows, and you'll kind of realize that how much energy you're actually losing.
Oh, absolutely.
So sealing this stuff up makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and again, what you'll see if you're downstairs in the basement or even on the first floor, if you have a slab-on-grade home or whatever, you'll see the incense blowing in. You go upstairs, the incense will be going out.
Yeah. Right.
That's the difference. So you're basically circulating if it's warm outside, you're going to be circulating hot air through your house, and if you have air conditioning, you're spending, again, a lot of money on unnecessarily.
Yeah, and you know where it's really important to deal with these things is, let's say, the guy that's going to put an addition on his house.
Right.
You know, so he all of a sudden has to upsize his heating and air conditioning equipment, where if he was to go around and fix some of these things, maybe he doesn't have that expense.
That's right, that existing system would be efficient enough to handle it,
yep.
Where before it wasn't.
Well, hey, Ron, we're right up against a break again. I really appreciate you coming on. I know you're a busy man. So
great talking to you, gentlemen. I'm going to go back out and try to survive Tropical Storm Danny here today.
Oh, are you guys getting affected by that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, you have a good one.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Ron.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, we'll be right back. All righty, welcome back. We were talking to Ron Greenbaum, and he's gone now, but... what a great product.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you're looking at a product or having something that, you know, A, number one, the federal government's going to help pay for it,
mm-hmm.
and B, it's going to pay you back. So no matter what you didn't get covered, which most of the time isn't as much over that,
right.
It's money in your pocket. I mean,
well, and, you know, you're paying for this problem every month. This is a problem that is costing you money every
right.
single month.
Every time you write a check to pay your energy
yep.
bill or get online to pay it online, the number gets bigger every month,
mm-hmm.
you know, and with the energy use, wouldn't we all love to see that energy or that number go down?
Yeah, so. Say 20%.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, Ron made a good point, you know, the stack effect in the house. You know, in the bottom floors, you're actually drawing air in. On the top floors, air is moving out. There's
right.
a circulation of outside air coming through your house.
Right.
And your poor air conditioner is sitting there trying to process that air, and it's just costing you money.
Absolutely. I mean, well, think about it. If you could get 12 months worth of energy and you pay for it, you know, mm-hmm. in the equivalent of paying 10 months, why wouldn't you? I mean,
and, you know, you can get a hold of us. We can put this product in for you. Just call us at 289-1606 over at Midwest Basement Systems or stop in 5153 Northeast 17th Street.
Absolutely. You can get online and request an appointment, www.midwestbasementsystems.com.
Yep. And if you forget that, just push in Midwest Basement Systems in the Google engine and it'll pop right up for you.
That's right.
So. You know, we've been talking the last couple of weeks about hiring a contractor.
Yes.
You know, this is completely off the subject we talked about this morning.
Right.
But this, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the most important things people need to know.
Right. I mean, most people, when they do want to have a project done, no one wants buyer's remorse.
Yeah.
Absolutely no one. And we've all experienced
something. The sad thing is we've all been there.
Yeah. Whether it's been a big project or whether it's been something you purchased at, you know, at a store or at a flea market or from a friend, and that, you know, you had an idea that it was going to be able to do this for you or you were going to get some expected results and it didn't. And immediately you get this buyer's remorse.
So, and, you know, we got through the first six last week.
Right.
We wrote the Ten Commandments of Hiring a Contractor.
Right.
And these are actually going to show up on our website.
Yes.
So at MidwestBasementSystems.com. So if you're not writing them down, you're just listening to in your car, don't get an accident or anything.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's kind of recap the first six real quick, and then let's get into the last four.
Absolutely.
So number one, have a plan.
We've spoken about this many, many times.
Yep.
You have to have a pretty good idea what it is you want to do. Without just, you know, hiring somebody and saying, hey, I'm interested in a new master bedroom.
You know,
put one up over on this side of the house.
Or, you know, if you call your general contractor out there and you say, well, you know, I'm not really sure what I want to do, but I know I want to do something.
Right.
That's a pretty vague order.
Absolutely. And by having a plan means that you are going to be required to do a little bit of research yourself.
Right. Which is okay.
Absolutely.
You should know what you want going into this.
Yeah. I mean, and there's enough information out there. Well, there's more than enough information out there off the internet and doing some research with talking to other people, to, you know, talking to the governor. You know, there's, you know, even we've spoken about the, you know, the EPA, the government websites. I mean, these are the kind of things that you're going to want to know about as you proceed through getting these projects done.
That's right. Number two, get more than one opinion.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people think, okay, you know, Aunt Martha had this guy work on her house, and I'm going to use the same guy because she had a decent experience.
Right.
You know, that is important, but get more than one opinion.
Well, exactly. I mean, more than one opinion. He may have done a really good job one time, really satisfied one customer, but you find out that maybe there was a trail of problems leading up to that one job.
As they say, even a blind mouse finds a piece of cheese.
Exactly.
So even a broken clock is right twice
and
a
day. And if Aunt Martha's contractor was the man and he's doing the right thing, the more information you find out about him is just going to reaffirm your decision.
Number three, have a budget in mind.
Right.
You know, and don't be afraid to readjust that budget. Maybe your budget wasn't practical.
Right.
You know, it's tough to actually figure out what something costs.
Yes.
I mean, you can look on our website. There's a lot of information on there, but we do not have price lists on there.
Right.
It's impossible to figure out what a project costs. So if you have a contractor out, and let's say you budgeted $10,000 for a project, turns out it's going to be $20,000.
Right.
You know, he's probably not going to drop $10,000 off his price tag.
Right.
Most of us don't work under that kind of margin.
No, no. And, you know, I guess if you're going to find somebody that's going to negotiate that, you know, way with you, I'd rather have a set solid price that I know I'm going into.
I would, too.
And any changes that are going to be made are obviously by change of work order agreement and by mutual consent. I mean, both people are going to know that this change is what we both want to have happen. And because of that change, X number of dollars is going to be added to the project.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, what you just said, is that's actually kind of interesting because I do have my opinions about that, too.
Yeah.
We've all had a contractor out to give us a price, and okay, if you sign today, we can knock this much off or something like that. Two things there. Number one, what's going to change tomorrow? Why can't I sleep on this? Why do I have to sign today?
Right.
You know, unless I've already made up my mind that I like this guy and everything and I'm going to sign with him, don't do something because you're pressured into it.
Right.
And number two, okay, you just knocked off, say, 20% off the price tag of this. How can I possibly feel like I'm getting a good deal?
Right.
You know, you just told me it was $10,000, but you're willing to do it for $8,000.
Right.
So, you know, if you come to Tim Hetty's house with that kind of story, okay, you're willing to do it for $8,000. I say $5,000.
Yeah, I say, how do I know that $8,000 is actually the cost of doing the project?
Exactly. How do I know that this project's worth $8,000?
Right.
Doesn't make any sense.
No. And, you know, I think hopefully, you know, the listeners out there are savvy enough to understand when they're being taken advantage of. And
yeah.
That's the kind
of. Most of them are, I think, but there are, you know. Obviously, these guys are in business,
yeah,
and they probably do very well.
Yeah,
so,
Pick
a good contractor. Number four,
right?
You know, do your research on the internet and
check out the Better Business Bureau.
Yep, Attorney General. I mean, it's not hard to find dirt on an irreputable company,
right? Right.
So
the Better Business Bureau is a great place to start. I mean, they've got so much information from other areas. So if you had a contractor who kind of painted a bad area of the state that he was working, and all of a sudden he realizes, I'm not getting any business, so I'm going to move to another part of the state. They track that. It's not like somebody can just pull up stakes, move, you know, 50 miles and think they can drop in and, you know, no one's going to know about them.
Can't you get information on the owner of the companies?
Absolutely.
Okay, from the Better Business Bureau site, if I'm right.
Yep.
Okay.
They track it several different ways. So even if they change the name, the person who is actually running the operation, who's getting the license in that area to be able to do that work, is still tracked.
So he can't just close down, open right back up under a different name.
Absolutely. And if you've not seen some of those websites or some of the contractors that have formerly known as, and they've got a D-minus rating, you know, or an F rating, it's because of the history that they've had with all these other companies and that they've started and ended up having to shut down.
Well, and, you know, how important is this? Because who can afford to just throw away $10,000?
No one.
You know, I mean, whatever, I'm just picking a number out here.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you hire the wrong guy and he takes advantage of you,
well, the loss of any amount of money. Yeah, the loss of any amount of money is unacceptable.
Yep.
You know, you should find out when you're talking to the contractor also, will they be using subcontractors? You know, will there be lien waivers? You know, these are the kind of things that you want to know. Is this an all-inclusive type of contractor where he can do it all, or is he basically just a general and going to have five or six subcontractors working, you know, around it? You know, is that the right guy then?
Right, exactly.
So,
just as importantly, number five, check out the products being used.
Yep.
You know, is he using good quality products in my home?
Right.
Let's face it, if he goes out of business, he's not the one that has to live with those products. It's
right.
Me.
That's right. A lot of assumptions are made. You know, you throw a pitch book down in front of a customer and you've got some great pictures. You've shown them, you know, what maybe they've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't know that that's the exact same product that's going to be going into your house. So you have to be asking those questions. You have to be doing some research. And you have to check that inventory as it shows up on your property.
That's right.
So
and make sure it's what you ordered.
Exactly.
So, be thorough in your contract. I'm a huge, huge believer in this at Midwest Basement Systems.
So many things can go wrong if you don't have... If you're not protected, and the contractor. I mean, the contractor wants to be protected, too, and that's making no assumptions. You know, well, I thought we had this conversation that you were going to do this, and that was part of the cost. Well, if it's not written down, it didn't happen.
You know, and if it was something that was discussed and agreed upon, have them make a note or something on the contract.
Absolutely.
Like I say, at Midwest Basement Systems, that contract is the gospel for this job. If it ain't on there, it doesn't get done.
Right.
That's it.
There are unforeseen things that can come up during a project. We all know that contractors, every week have things that come up unforeseen. But when that does happen, you can't assume that the contract that you currently have is going to automatically take care of that unforeseen thing. If it's something that's needed to be adjusted to, get a change of work order and move forward.
Absolutely. So those are the ones we covered last week. Unfortunately, we're running up against it on time. When we come back, we're going to talk about deposits, though.
Right.
And this is a subject that I have very, very, very strong opinions. We've had discussions about that.
Absolutely.
And I've actually gotten into arguments with people about deposits.
Right.
We do not take them at Midwest Basement Systems.
Correct.
Right or wrong, we don't take it.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we will be right back. So don't go anywhere. All All righty. Welcome back, Iowa. We were talking about the Ten Commandments of hiring a contractor.
Absolutely. And what we've spoken about so far, if you don't have didn't have an opportunity to write some of this stuff down, we'll be revisiting it, and it'll be on our website.
Yeah, so I'm going to put this whole thing right on our website, on our blog page. Right. So we were talking about deposits. Be careful with deposits.
Right. When you look at the type of project that you're doing, is this something that there's specialty products that have to be purchased for your project? I mean,
right, like windows, absolutely, or special fit doors or something like that.
Doors, cabinets, something that is unique to the project that you're looking at. Those are the kind of things where you should assume that you're going to be putting a deposit down on.
Right.
No contractor wants to get stuck with all these unique products sitting in their warehouse with no application to be able to put them in. But when you look at other types of projects like what we do.
Right. I mean, you know, we buy semi-truckloads of the materials that we use. Right. You know, we never charge deposits, even though we do a lot of basement windows.
Right.
And I have been stuck with windows, and that's not ideal. But, you know, I believe that's the way to do business. Now, if I was doing upstairs windows and doors, I think I would require enough to pay for the product in case the customer backed out of it.
Sure.
But nothing's more frustrating to me than have some guy say, well, in order to get your roof started, we're going to need a deposit to secure the dates.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, to secure the dates?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that doesn't make any sense.
That tells me you're using my money for something else.
That you're probably using my money to finish somebody else's project.
Right.
And which kind of brings us to the next one, number 8. How many jobs does the company have going on at the same time?
Right.
If you're giving deposits, now at Midwest Basement Systems, we usually have 7 projects going on at one time.
Right.
But there are 7 crews. We're not pulling off of one project to go do another project.
Right. We're not starting projects, then stopping them, then starting them back up again, and doing this hopscotch of shuffling the crews to back and forth. Once we start a project, you know, weather permitting, we're there all the way through it.
Right.
So,
and whether the weather turns bad on us or not, it doesn't make any difference. That just means the job's going to go a little bit longer.
Right.
But that does not mean we're going to go start somebody else's project.
Absolutely. We're not going to be starting someone else's project that day because it's rainy, you know.
Now, if you put the deposit thing together with the how many projects do they have going on at the same time? Okay, think about it. Rod, I hire you. You charge me a deposit.
Right.
You take my deposit money to pay your guys because maybe you're behind. Then you have them over here finishing somebody else's project. So you've got this cycle going on. All of a sudden, the cycle catches up with you, and you go out of business.
Right.
So you're out of business. My deposit's gone because somebody else cashed in on that.
Yeah, you used it for paying some other bill.
So, you know, you really have to be careful with these things. And I know there's probably right now some angry contractors out there at us because this is not a great subject to be talking about. But
I think they can justify it in their mind also. It's like, listen, you know, we're talking about individual projects. We know there are unique situations, but there's people that took advantage of customers in buying and things like that, that, hey, why isn't the crew here today? You know, well, I've got them over on this job or I've got them over on that job. It's like, yeah, but I've paid you. Why aren't they here?
And maybe I took off of work. So, I mean, I'm getting double whammied here.
Yeah, and once you've given that deposit, you are somewhat beholden to that contractor. I mean, because if he's taking your money and you don't have some clause in the contract to cancel this, to get your deposit money back, you are beholden to them. You're now, you know, no one wants to just ignore the money that they gave up. They're saying, okay, now I'm invested. You know, I have a vested interest with this contractor to do the right thing. But if they're somewhat unethical, you know,
now can I afford to go hire another contractor?
Exactly.
You know, because I've already been taken advantage of.
Right. And with the same worry that, is this all going to happen all over again, which, you know, we have to talk to customers about several times, you know, because you can tell when someone's been taken advantage of, they have a lot of good questions for us.
Right. So basically, you know, somebody has the burden of risk.
Right.
It's either the company or the customer.
Right.
You know, or the contractor or the customer. At Midwest Basement Systems, we're pretty comfortable, and we do things a certain way, and I consider it to be a good ethical way of doing things.
Right.
And that's why we don't charge deposits. We have the burden of risk,
yes,
not the homeowner.
Right. And, you know, I think we get a lot of appreciation with that because they realize that, hey, we have as much to risk in this as the homeowner does.
Yeah.
You know, they want a good quality job done, and if there's anything that we've written on the contract that we didn't do, those are the things that are going to get done before we receive payment.
Yeah.
So,
commandment number 9. Okay, we've done all of our research. We're comfortable. Everything's good. We didn't give no deposits, or if we did, it was only to cover material. Let's get the work done.
Right.
Okay. Now, I believe that there's a process for this, too. There's a process for everything with
right.
me, but I believe that there's a process for this. When that crew gets to your house, okay, now at Midwest Basement Systems, we have a job inspector that goes and reviews the job with the homeowner
right.
after the job is sold. That way, everybody's on the same page.
Right.
You know, there are no misunderstandings. Or if there are, you know, hey, we did everything we could to
right.
keep that from happening.
Well, we can clear them up before they become
right.
big assumptions.
So, okay, let's say you're having something else done, your roof or your driveway or whatever. Go through the entire project with the foreman, you know. Ask any questions, you know, make sure that there's no conflicts or anything going on between you and them. Everybody's on the same page.
Right.
Before they found or
climb on your roof.
Climb on your roof or anything. Make sure that you are on the same page with the foreman because, you know, when you're out there, when the salesperson's out there, he's got a job to do.
Right.
He obviously needs your signature on the line to get paid.
Right.
So he has a vested interest in getting this job sold. Now, the production guys get there. They have a vested interest in getting the job done.
Yes.
So, in my view, take a little bit extra time with the foreman.
Right. So take photos.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what better thing can you have to document whether, you know, there's a problem that's going to arise or whether they did just a fantastic job. And you
yep.
you can share that with the contractor itself and say, you know what, I took some photos and I want to let you know how great of a job your crew did. In fact, I documented it and I would highly recommend your company to anyone else. So,
well, you know, and that brings us right to the last point.
Right.
Because whether you had a good experience or a bad experience, okay, I highly recommend, you know, tell everybody.
Right.
You know, we have social networking now. We have Facebook. We have
Twitter.
We got all this stuff.
MySpace.
You know, hey, I had a great experience with this contractor.
Right.
You know, I highly recommend him to all these other guys or
yeah.
anybody else out there that needs a roof. I highly recommend this guy.
Absolutely. And like I said, don't be afraid to tell somebody that they did a good job.
Yeah.
You know, because that's really what the company and the owner of the company wants to hear, that they're doing things right. The ethical person is the one that's out there and does want to know. And if there is an issue that arises, take care of it immediately.
Absolutely. And, so, you know, give them a chance to, you know,
correct.
Make it right. And
yeah.
maybe there was just a misunderstanding. Who knows?
That's right.
You know, report the bad stuff too. You
That's
know,
right. If you feel like you've been taken advantage of, been scammed, the Better Business Bureau is the first people that you want to call because they can help you with
conflict.
Well,
the first people, I think, is the contractor.
Yeah.
You know, give
yeah.
them a chance to.
Yeah. If
to,
they, if you have a true conflict with them and you can't get it resolved, the Better Business Bureau is a great place to start because mm-hmm. of the conflict resolution.
And, you know, be careful. Make sure that what you're saying is true, whether it's on Twitter or you're still liable for what you say.
That's right. Document.
Yeah. Make sure that you can back up what you say. But do the rest of the city a favor. And, hey, if this guy's not doing his job and
yeah.
he promised things that didn't come true or something, you know, I want to know about that.
That's
if you
right.
had a problem,
That's
I don't
right.
want to hire that guy.
Absolutely. No, and no need to everybody else be scammed by him either.
Right. Well, we're just about out of time here, and of course, we didn't get to everything we wanted, but that's okay. We're going to be back next week.
Well, please keep sending in those questions, though.
Yeah, send them to tim@midwestbasementsystems.com, or like I say, you can call me at 289-1606 or just stop in.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Yep.